This is Diamante, and you're listening to my chapter of As the Story Grows.
Welcome to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. I'm Brian Patton. This week, we welcome hard rock artist Diamante to the podcast. Diamante's independently released sophomore full-length record, American Dream, came out this past Friday. I love listening to an artist grow. Diamante's debut, Coming in Hot, was a real influences on the sleeve type record, and on American Dream, she finds her own sound. So I recommend giving it a spin. Diamante talks about how musical theater inspired her career, choosing to go solo over being in a band, finding co-writers to help her rock and roll dreams, and moving forward after losing her label. American Dream is a big, fun radio rock record, and I love seeing someone overcome adversity and succeed. So I hope you guys enjoy getting to know Diamante.
If I could build a fire and burn down my life,
Where are you located?
Right now I'm in LA, Los Angeles.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sherman Oaks. It's like the valley of LA. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Awesome. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Boston.
Boston?
Yeah. I am an East Coaster.
All right.
Since I was 3 to 12 when my whole family then came out here to LA.
What took your family to LA?
I'm not too sure. I think It was mostly climate because my mom hates living in the cold. And at the time, my youngest brother was really into acting. And My sister, she's always been into acting and music as well. So it was kind of just a whole family decision to come out here, except mine, because I was not happy to leave Boston. I love Boston. I love my friends. And then 2 weeks into being here in LA, I was stoked.
Was it the weather or just something about the vibe or what changed it for you?
I think it was because I just made a lot of friends in the new middle school I went to like right away, which is not normal for me because I was a very shy kid. I mean, I'm still pretty shy if you don't know me. So it was hard for me to make friends, and I made all these friends. I was like, yeah, you know, it's not so bad over here.
That's cool. What was growing up like, either East Coast or West Coast? What was the experience like?
I'd say that the East Coast experience was more just being a normal kid. I was going to, you know, summer camp in New Hampshire every summer, and I was just having fun with my friends. I mean, I was only in elementary school, so yeah. It was very, you know, normal stuff. And then when we came out here to LA, that's when I really started pursuing music on a more serious note. And I was, I did the School of Rock thing when I was 13. That's when I first discovered rock music. And then I started playing shows on the Sunset Strip when I was in high school, and I'd drag all my friends and I'd make my family come. So very different upbringings.
So you were already like into music and playing before you moved to LA?
Yeah. I mean, I had never played a rock show, but I did grow up doing musical theater, and okay. I really loved doing that. I started when I was 9 or 10. I played Sandy in Grease, and that's when I caught the bug about being on stage.
That's fun. So musical theater, that was like your intro, your hook into music?
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, it's not so different from playing a rock show when I look at the two now, because you still have to have a larger than life presence when you're on stage. Mm-hmm. You have to project, you have to captivate a crowd. So it was almost like training in a sense, and I didn't realize it when I was a kid.
So what was that transition from musical theater into rock and roll like?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the performing, I would say, is not so different because mm-hmm. you're still trying to achieve the same things, but it's the music itself. When I was 13 and I did that School of Rock thing and I discovered for the first time rock music, and I got to cover bands like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, and I discovered Blondie and the Rolling Stones. These were all groups that I had never even listened to because I grew up listening more to pop music when I was a kid. And at the end of this summer camp, we got to do a show at the Knitting Factory, which was a rock venue here in LA. And it was so much fun getting to play a real life rock show. And from that moment on, I was so hooked. And that's what I wanted to do forever and ever and ever.
That's cool. What made you go to the School of Rock?
Honestly, I think my parents just signed me up because they knew I loved music. They knew I was obsessed with singing. I was still doing musical theater stuff when I came out to LA, but you know, they figured, let's just put her in this rock school and see what happens. And maybe she picks up an instrument. I didn't really, but you know, I still got to sing rock music. So something came out of it.
Yeah, that's funny. That was going to be my next question. So you never picked up an instrument. Never. You've always just been like vocalist.
I tried picking up the guitar when I was 13, and you know, I got to a novice level where I learned chords. I learned how to switch from chord to a different chord, and I could play very basic songs, but everyone around me was a prodigy at the time. So I figured I was already, so at 13, I thought I was too old to learn how to play guitar to a proficient level. And now I'm like kicking myself because I really should have stuck with it. I just didn't have the discipline to sit there for hours and have my fingers bleed like most guitar players. But now, surprisingly enough, I've really gotten to like playing the piano.
Okay.
I had to learn how to play one of my songs on the piano recently. And so I want to keep that up and see if I can really be disciplined and practice and get better.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were coming out of School of Rock and realizing you wanted to be this music persona, do rock and roll, was your direction always like, I need to find bands to front? Or were you always like, I'm going to be a solo artist?
From day one, it was always, I'm going to be a solo artist. My mom at the time was pretty much my momager. She and I really did this whole beginning phase of my career together. And my dad was pretty involved too. And we all agreed that although there's a lot of cons to being a solo artist, you have to carry all the weight, especially financially, that's a huge strain. There's a lot of freedom, we realized, like down the road, that would really benefit someone like me in case, you know, because bands break up all the time, it doesn't work out, whatever. So I always wanted to have that control over my own career. So I've been solo since the beginning.
That's cool. Do you think that's been helpful or hurtful along the way?
It was lonely at times for sure. And especially like I've met some really incredible players. I have a lineup right now that comes out on tour with me that have pretty much come out with me for the last 2 years, you know, not including 2020. But they're awesome. And I have, but they're free agents. So if they book another tour or another show, they're free to go play that. And then I'll have like substitute players who come in if they're available. And I've just built this awesome like music family. But at the beginning, growing up when I was more in the teen years, it was definitely lonely because whenever there were hard moments in my career, it's not like I could share this with four other people. It was really just me, myself, and I.
Yeah. What was that push through in high school where most people are playing in bands and, you know, in garages and clubs, like you're trying to make a solo career? What was that trajectory like?
Well, the funny thing is, at least in my high school, I was a freak. I was a weirdo for wanting to do music. No one else was doing that in my school. I was actually really bullied for wanting to do music. So that was the hardest part. But then, yeah, I would play these shows in Orange County with people my age, and they were all in bands. And I guess Orange County has more of that, you know, families get together and decide they want to start bands or friends. Yeah. And they all like grew up with each other and they knew each other so well. So I tried to become friends with as many of them as possible so that I didn't feel so alone. And a lot of them actually went on to do really cool stuff, like the band Weathers. I grew up playing shows with them. Hey Violet, a couple others, Band Kitten. So yeah, it was a cool little, I guess, community that I found in Orange County that I didn't have in my high school.
That's cool. As someone who doesn't play an instrument, how was that songwriting and performing aspect for you?
Well, the performing is fine with me because I love moving around on stage. I love like running and jumping and doing all this crazy stuff. And I feel like if I had an instrument on me and I had to stand still in one spot, that would drive me nuts. But on the
right, I'm more meant in high school and like finding people when you're going and trying to play these shows.
Kind of the same. Like the very first band I had in high school, I enlisted some of my friends from high school who I knew maybe played instruments, and then I would just go play shows with them. And it's kind of the same thing. I would just run around, be crazy, let them really play the show. And then when it came to writing, I actually teamed up more with like producer writers when I was younger, who would write the songs with me. And at the beginning, I would always write with the producer. And then up until now, I love writing with different songwriters and co-writers and people that I like collaborating with. But yeah, I didn't really ever write with band players. It was always producers or older songwriters.
Gotcha. Was that a struggle to find producers or that songwriting class in a rock genre?
Yeah, totally. Especially because whenever I found a producer, it was always, okay, we're going to make you pop, because they see this 14, 15 year old girl. And you know, the first thing they're not going to think is rock and roll. Yeah. They're thinking pop girl. So a lot of my earlier music was definitely in the pop realm. And then when I started discovering that I really loved rock music and I loved performing rock music, that's when my music started taking more of a shift towards rock. Up until I was 18 and I worked with a producer named Alex Cantrell, and I told him, you know, I want to make a rock EP, and that's where the Dirty Blonde EP came from. And it was very 80s rock. I'm on fire. You can't put me out. Which I discovered that I liked. And then I kind of brought that sound into Coming In Hot up until now.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd you get connected with Better Noise?
That's actually a cool story, because it was a very old school way of getting signed to a record label. I was 18 at the time and I was opening for Whitesnake, which already was like, and, playing a show in Beverly Hills at the Saban Theater. And one of the A&Rs from Better Noise, I guess, knew my manager from something previous, but he came out to the show and he saw me open for Whitesnake. And just based off the live show, he was like, yeah, I want to take her and I want to sign her. And usually that doesn't happen anymore, because labels will sign you based off of, you know, 10 hit songs you've already written that you just hand over to them. But I didn't have any music. It was just the live show. So I had to spend the next 2 years really writing and making debut album.
Yeah. How do you feel about that debut album in hindsight?
In hindsight, I think it was the perfect introduction to me as an artist. Mm-hmm. Because your debut album, like for no one knowing who I was, I think it really catapulted me to the next level, especially songs like Haunted, and then doing the collab with Bad Wolves and doing Hear Me Now. That was a whole other step. I had never really done festival touring. I had never been played on active rock radio. So that was a huge step for me. But it was a very scary and stressful thing. And I remember my producer, Howard Benson, telling me at the time, there is such a small percentage that this album will even see the light of day. Right. So I'm just glad that it came out. I'm just so glad that it came out. Mm.
like listening to it when you mentioned all your influences, and really it sounds like you have a classic rock, 80s rock, metal kind of vibe and influence. Like that really wears itself on its sleeve on Coming in Hot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was very deliberate. I remember wanting to have that retro 80s sound. And you hear the song Coming in Hot, and you can totally hear the Joan Jett influence, yeah. The 80s influence.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. There's like moments that sound like Sabbath or Zeppelin or
yeah,
AC/DC for sure. So what led to that split with Better Noise then?
You know, man, to this day, I don't exactly know why the split happened. All I know is that I was out on the biggest tour of my life up until that point, which was Breaking Ben and 3 Days Grace. And I'm playing these amphitheater shows and this 3 month long tour. And in the very middle of the tour, they decide that they don't want to pick up the second album. And I didn't really have time to be down about it, because my brain was thinking, okay, what's plan B? What do we do to move forward? What's the next step? Because I wasn't going to stop. I was like so in motion already. And I had written a couple of songs that ended up going on this new album. So I already had them in my back pocket. And I was just thinking, man, you know, this got thrown at me. I don't know why this happened, but I got to make the best of it. So my next phase was, well, let's just see if I can make an album on my own and put it out independently and see what happens.
That's cool. Why the decision to go independently and not try to find another label home?
I think because I had spent the last 3 years being with a label and going already through an entire album release campaign process. I already knew the steps. I knew what you had to do. I knew what you needed to make a campaign successful. I was going to college right now at the same time, business school. And I figured, like, you've already done it. So just try doing it yourself. And let's see what happens when you don't have any limitations, any restrictions, and you can just do whatever you want. And the product of that was this album, American Dream.
That's cool. Did you feel freer writing this record, or just the experience of on the road? Like, what led to the change in sound?
I think it was a combination of me progressing as a songwriter. And then I think it was also when I wrote Coming in Hot, and when we made Coming in Hot, I hadn't really toured that extensively. Mm-hmm. And then when I toured for 2 years promoting Coming in Hot, I got the same comment over and over again, where people would come up to me and say, man, you know, I liked you when I looked you up, but I had no idea that you were going to sound this heavy live. And I realized that there was a disconnect between the live show and what you were hearing Coming in Hot on the album. The live show is definitely a little heavier. It's more raw. And so I wanted to take that live element and put it more into the recorded music. So that's why you hear more heavy songs on American Dream and a little bit less polish.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Did COVID mess up the release of this record? I mean, it like COVID took the music industry and then just destroyed it. But like, was this a record that you like had that extra time to write, or was it like, we're going to release it? No, we're not.
It's funny. I mean, COVID definitely flipped a lot of stuff upside down on its head. I had so many tours that were booked for this year that obviously, or 2020, that obviously didn't end up happening. But as far as the album goes, I remember having an idea in my head, like, yes, this album's going to come out in 2020. I was releasing singles in 2020, but looking back in hindsight, I'm glad that I didn't, because I kept writing throughout all this time, just sitting around in quarantine. And I ended up writing maybe the best songs on the album because I was in quarantine and I was writing. And the cool thing is that I didn't have these songs already set, ready to go, and I was just picking which ones to release. I was kind of releasing songs as they were being created in a chronological order. And, yeah, a lot of the songs I ended up writing a couple months ago. So the album was originally supposed to come out in 2020, but then, you know, I figured I might as well keep writing. And so now 2021, I feel like it was meant to be.
Yeah. It helped create a better product in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the cover of Iris?
Oh man. I have wanted to cover Iris for so many years. It's always been my favorite song ever since I was a kid. And I had the idea to cover this song, but I was always told no. So now that I had nobody telling me no, or even what to do with anything really, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to cover the song I've always wanted to cover. And then Neil Sanderson had the idea to make it a duet. So I was thinking, man, that's really cool. If we make it hard rock and a duet, which male vocalist would I want to have on this song? And because I had toured so much with Breaking Ben for the 2 years prior, mm-hmm. Ben came to my mind immediately. And I sent him a DM on Instagram and I said, hey, Ben, I want to do this cover of Iris. It's my favorite song. I would be super honored if you would sing on this with me. Would you be down? And like, shockingly, he said, yeah, I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. Let's do it. And I had already cut my part of the song and he record his vocals and just send them over and, you know, we'd stitch it together. But then he had the idea that we should record the vocals together at the same time, same place in real time. So I ended up flying out to Reno to one of the Breaking Ben shows and we did the vocals on his tour bus. And I don't want the world to see me, 'cause I don't think that they'd understand when everything's meant to be broken. I just want you to know who I am.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was listening to the record just kind of in the background, and when that chorus hit, I was like, oh, okay. It took me by surprise, but I really liked it. It was cool.
Thank you.
So this record is coming out May 7th, independently. This is your promotion. It seems like you are hitting the press circuit as like, obviously things are weird this year still. Like, what is your hopes as this record comes out and promotion and trying to get out on the road again?
I mean, my hope is that people listen to this album and they really hear a growth in me as an artist and as a songwriter, and they see the Diamante 2.0 that I see in this album. I have a couple festivals maybe happening in September, but like you said, who knows what's happening before. So I'm always like, yeah, I'm playing this show, hopefully. I have Incarceration booked for September, which I'm super stoked about. And then hopefully touring in 2022. But I couldn't wait any longer to put these songs out because the future is so unpredictable and I have these songs and I just, like, the waiting just couldn't happen anymore.
That's cool. Are there creative things you are bringing to the release of this album to help promote it?
Yeah, I am. I shot 3 music videos in 3 days a month or two ago, which was insane. It was so crazy. I put out one of the music videos already, which is the one for Ghost Myself. Yep. I have 2 others that will be released after the album comes out, which are epic. What else? I have a virtual taco eating album listening party, like a huge Zoom party for anyone who pre-saved the album. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And just other like behind the scenes stuff and some cool things that I shot actually with Howard Benson talking about the making of the album.
Thanks for listening to As the Story Grows. Our theme song was written and composed by the legendary Bob Nana. If you like what you hear, subscribe on iTunes and give the show a rating and review. If you'd like to support the show financially, click on the Patreon link at asthestorygrows.com. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media with your friends. Much appreciated, and thanks for listening.